This afternoon, we are continuing our look at the doctrines that are foundational to the Christian faith. And we've dealt with a number of those doctrines, and we've dealt with them under the classic division, which is dealing with God the Father and dealing with Jesus Christ and then dealing with the Holy Spirit. And we gave a broad overview of those divisions and explained the foundations within them. And now we are in this foundational section where we're talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And today, as we think about foundations, we need to ask, what is central to the Christian life? What is central to what it means to be a Christian in this world? And what is central? And what is central in application? Is the resurrection from the dead? Jesus Christ suffered and He was buried and He died. And that's foundational. But without the resurrection of Christ, there would not have been the evidence from God that Christ was victorious. The resurrection of Jesus Christ points to the fact that Jesus Christ conquered sin and He conquered death. Friends, this should be a huge encouragement to you. We all have loved ones who have died in the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone on to glory. And I am not sure what has happened within American Christianity, but for many of us, when we are standing graveside, we speak as though their soul going to heaven is all that's left. We speak as though the body in the ground has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard many, many Christians make statements such as, "He is not there," or "She is not there," speaking to the ground, speaking of the fact that the body is in the ground. The resurrection of Jesus Christ encourages us that even when the body of the believer is in the ground, the fullness of God's work has not yet been completed. The fullness of the application of the gospel is not complete when our brothers and sisters in Christ who die and their souls go to glory. The work of the gospel in their lives and in their death is not yet complete. And that should serve as a huge encouragement for us. The resurrection of Christ is foundational because it serves as a first fruit of what God is going to do as He resurrects all men, some to honor and some to dishonor. Our shorter catechism says that the body of believers still being united to Christ waits in the ground until the resurrection. Think about the use of that language. We talk a lot from this pulpit about union with Christ. It's central to everything that we believe as Christians. And it was central to the writers of that document that make the statement that the body of believers rests in the ground and it is united to Christ until the resurrection. Think about that. Think about how powerful of a statement that is. As we think about the resurrection from the dead and how that relates to the resurrection to come. We read from 1 Corinthians 15 and we read from the Gospels, and we need to say that the resurrection of Christ is a historical fact. It's something that happened in history. And even as we saw in Matthew 28, that historical fact was being challenged right from the beginning as a hoax. And yet it remains a historical fact. And it's a historical fact that is essential to the Christian life. And the reason that it is essential is because that's what the Apostle Paul has told us in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is a huge theologian. He can wax eloquently about all aspects of theology. And he does, doesn't he? You go through Romans and Paul covers everything. And you ask him to boil it down. And that's what he does in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. He says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received." What is central is that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says, if I have to boil all of the Christian life down from eternity past and thinking about the decree and thinking about the Trinity and perfect triune love and harmony in eternity past, and if I have to think through everything all the way into glory as the redeemed saints are with Christ in glory, when it's all boiled down, what stands central is that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose from the dead for your sins. Paul says that is the number one thing that we must preach. Atonement. And the resurrection stands as the surety of our salvation, the evidence of the fact that all who put their trust in Him will one day be raised to glory or raised to newness of life. And Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a very, very complex chapter, isn't it? As we read it. And what should or ought to amaze us is that the primary application that Paul draws from the resurrection of Christ is the fact that we too, those who trust in Christ, will also be raised to glory. And Paul says that. He says, if Christ was not raised, you will not be raised. And he tells us what's in the center of that. Many today find it hard to believe in what John Murray from Westminster years ago called the drama of the graveyard. The fact that one day graveyards will be upset and ground will be overturned and the dead in Christ will raise first in perfection, in holiness. Friends, meditate on that drama of the graveyard. Sometimes I hope Jesus comes back on a Lord's Day and we'll break these windows out and just watch. Watch the drama unfold before our eyes as the graves are opened and material bodies that were laid in tombs are resurrected. And Paul says that without the resurrection of Christ, we have no guarantee that we will be raised. Think of mainline seminaries. Think of many of our oldest seminaries in this nation that deny the resurrection of the dead. What hopeless religion. What worthless religion. I've often said, if the gospel is not true, if Jesus is not a historical figure, if the resurrection is not an historical event, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be wasting your time, and you shouldn't be wasting your time. I'm sure everybody has something that they could be doing at home, something that still needs to be cleaned or cooked or scrubbed or maintained. The resurrection of Christ compels us to worship. And it compels us to look forward to our resurrection from the dead. There's comfort in this fact that the souls of believers at their death will be made perfect in holiness. And that they, even now in the grave, pass into glory. But as I said, shorter Catechism 37, their bodies still being united to Christ rest in the graves until the resurrection. As we understand the Scriptures, this happens at the end, right as the new heavens and the new earth are about to be formed. Jesus returns. He calls forth His people. And He says that we will have glorified bodies. 1 John 3:2 says, "For it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." So again, that connection made. Jesus was raised from the dead. His actual physical body was raised from the dead. And there was some sort of change or transformation that occurred. And you, if you are in Christ, will be raised from the dead. And your physical body will be changed as Christ was changed. So what are some applications as we think of the resurrection of Christ and the essential nature of the resurrection? First, we need to consider the fact that as Christ's body was raised from the dead, and it was in substance the same, it was the same physical body, so too will our bodies be at the resurrection. When we're all in glory in eternity, I will walk up to you and you will recognize me as Nathan Eshelman. And the same is true for you. The physical body that you have will be yours in eternity. For some, that's probably really encouraging. For others, maybe not. But the fact remains is that physically, we will be raised in the same body. Now, that's important because what happens is Jesus didn't die a human and was raised a specter of some sort. He wasn't a hologram. Okay? And when our bodies are raised, we will have the same physical bodies as well. Now, secondly, His body was raised from the dead by a word from His Spirit, and so too will ours be raised. The Spirit of God will call you forth. And that's an encouragement. Many fear death. Many fear the grave. Many fear what it would be like to be dead. But we need to be encouraged that it's not by our power that we will someday be raised from the dead. It's not like we're told, in this life you have faith in Jesus Christ, and you have faith enough to know that when it's time, you tell your body to be raised. We can rest assured that it is God's Spirit who will call forth our bodies because they are in union with Christ. They remain united to Christ, and His Spirit will raise them to newness of life. We will die when this body has been thoroughly corrupted, and yet we will put on incorruption. So the encouragement in that is that even though we have the same bodies, they will be perfected bodies. That which is corruptible, and we all know the experience of aging and how that leads to corruption of the body. We don't do the same things we did when we were 20. Yet we will be raised incorruptible. Perfection. Another application is, He who was raised first is given the greatest glory, preeminence. And so too, in the resurrection of the dead, the saints are raised first, according to the Scriptures, and then the wicked are raised. Now, we're not going to, pull down a screen with a big map of the eschatological views of people and say, here's the first resurrection, and over here is the second resurrection. This is a resurrection that occurs when Christ returns, but in the response of the first fruits, Jesus Christ being raised, so that He may give us glory, we see the honor of the saints in that they will be raised first, and then the wicked raised. You see, we are called to reign with Him, and we are called to attend even with Him to the judgment of the world. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. As we meet our Judge, as we meet our Lord. Another application is, Christ's body was marvelously improved by the resurrection, and so will our bodies be improved. Remember last week, Mr. Young read from Luke and the road to Emmaus as the disciples are walking, and Jesus comes and He says, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And they say, "Don't you know anything? Haven't you been around here at all?" And they don't recognize Jesus. The reason they don't recognize him, even though the scriptures testify to the fact that it's the same physical body, and it's a body that's made perfect in holiness, it has been perfected to a point that they don't quite recognize him at that moment. So we can think about certain weaknesses. We can think about ways that our bodies are dishonorable, using biblical language, and they will be made honorable. So the same body perfected becomes honorable. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 15:43 and 44. He says, you know, the body falls in weakness and it's raised in power. It's sown in weakness and raised in strength. It's sown in dishonor and it's raised in glory. So natural, but raised spiritual. So we can say that it's spiritual and it's physical. Because the spiritual is that the Holy Spirit takes it and He perfects it. No flaws or defects or deformities. They will be restored in perfection and beauty. And lastly, Christ's body was raised from the dead to be glorified and crowned with honor. Imagine what it's like, the fact that in heaven the Lord Jesus has His body and it's crowned. Jesus is in the flesh in eternity. It's hard to get our minds around, isn't it? That He has that perfect body that is crowned with honor. And that there will be, I don't know if I can even use the phrase, there will be some time in eternity. All the philosophers, you can't say that. There will be some time in eternity where we will not have our bodies, yet Christ has His body now. And there will be a time in eternity when saints are reunited with their flesh. And we too will be given that honor and that glory. We have difficulty thinking about what eternity will be like, but how joyful will that be? How amazing will that be, that there will be this time, and that's the wrong word for eternity, of course, but there will be this time when we go from not having our bodies to having our bodies perfected. It's something that we ought to look forward to, and it's something that we ought to think about and be joyful about, especially as we age, or especially as those that we love age. And you see bodies fail. And to know that there will come a time when that body in Christ will not fail. That it will be perfected in holiness. And that as we consider the resurrection of the dead, and as we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't just hold on to the resurrection of Jesus as this historical fact, where we say, you know, there's this anomaly in time and Jesus was raised from the dead. We say, no, Jesus was raised from the dead in its first fruit. Its first fruit to the fact that death has been conquered, that sin has been conquered. And that Christ was reunited with His body. And so too will we be reunited with our body sometime after we leave it here in the ground. Think of Isaiah as he says, "Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust." That we will return to dust, but we will not be left in the grave, but raised to newness of life. Amen.